So today we're going to look at obedience and believing. Years ago, when Jerry and I and Steve were in that leadership program, Dr. Worrell taught us Romans, and one of the things he said, I think it was in chapter 4, was that believing implies obedience. You really don't believe if you're not obedient to God's word. Sometimes people want to be rebels, and that's great for some things, but not for God and his word. So there's not anything about miracles in my teaching, so I thought I'd share one. About a year ago, my wife and I were at home, and her sister and brother-in-law called. Her older sister, Patty, and her husband, Terry, had for many years been missionaries in India and Sri Lanka. I don't know if you know where Sri Lanka is, but it's an island. It used to be called Ceylon, and it's on the tip of India. It's pretty large. And there's two ethnic groups there. There's the Ceylonese. There's another name for them, but the native people from Ceylon. And there's Tamils, and the Tamils migrated across from India. And for many years, it was a colony of the British Empire. And under the British, the Tamils were very industrious. And they took to education and business. And so they rose up in the society and culture and had a lot of jobs and important jobs. And they were educated. And they were the educators and so on and so forth. So then after the British left, the politicians got involved naturally, and they started saying, well, the Ceylonese, the native people, should be ones running everything. And so then there was a civil war for like 15 or 20 years. So anyway, so they called us, and they said they had a guy that was going back to Sri Lanka. They when they were there, they started a Bible college there. So they had a guy that, they always have people visiting them from there, and this guy was there, and he was taking an early flight out of Philadelphia, so they asked if they could stay over the night before, and so we said, sure. So this guy came over, and his name was So Reuben, and he was the same age as my son, Jeffrey. Many of you know Jeffrey and Michelle in Atlanta, and he was talking to us, and he said, well, my father was known as the bulletproof pastor because he would go into the war zone, and when he would come back, his clothes would be full of bullet holes, but he never got touched, and he would go in there and preach the gospel and so on and so forth. And I thought that was pretty cool, and he really loved and revered his father. And he said, my wife, when she graduated from the Bible college, she had to do a six-month assignment, to prove her worth, I guess, to graduate finally. And they sent her to this place in India that was, notorious for, I think they called it the meat grinder of missionaries or something, It wasn't something, not a place that you'd look forward to going to. So anyway, she's going there with these other people, and they had to cross a river. And they got in this little boat, and the boat crumbled in the middle of the river, and she drowned. And for 3 hours, they were dredging the river, and finally they dragged her body out, and they laid the dead bodies on the bank. And then this little boy came along, and he pointed to her, and he said, she's alive. I'm taking her to the hospital. Now, if you're in the water, underwater for 3 hours, you're pretty much dead, right? And if you're not dead, your brain is dead, even if they get you breathing again. So he took one of those bikes with the taxi thing on the back, seat on the back, and he drove her to the hospital and got the doctors, and for somehow or another, they revived her. And she had all her faculties and brains. So later on, she went back there, and she said, I want to find that little boy that saved my life. They said, there are no little boys here, and we would never let him take one of those taxis. So I thought that was pretty cool. So, there are so many miracles, and so many wonders that God does. But you know, that's not necessarily always the most important thing. I mean, it is important. And as we believe and as we're faithful, we will see that stuff. And people that say, well, you know, God's people need to see more signs and miracles. Well, that's been true since the fall of Adam. You know, God's people always need to see signs and healings and wonders and everything else. But, you know, and if you don't see them, well, start looking for them. Start believing. But, you know, the greatest prophet was who? John the Baptist, right? That's who Jesus Christ said was. And it says in John chapter 10, he did no miracles. Isn't that something? So he must have been great in other ways. And one of the things is he had Holy Spirit at birth, but he also obeyed God. You know, he just obeyed God. And that's what we're going to look at, obeying, not John the Baptist. But so the first thing I want to ask you is, what's the first verse that we all teach our children or we all learn? Let me hear you. Yeah, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Boy, that was an easy one, wasn't it? We've either learned it or taught it, right? Every one of us. It's the first thing we teach our kids because we want them to do so they can be our slaves. No, what's the real reason we teach them? So they'll obey God, right? Well, what about ourselves? Same thing is true, isn't it? So in chapter 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In the Lord, meaning, you know, in accordance with God's word and what God would have us to do. Then it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, which is the first commandment with promise, the Ten Commandments, right? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So there's a lot there, but it all has to do with being obedient, and it's obedient to the word. But it talks about fathers. Honor thy father and thy mother. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. If you go there, that's the old, you know, Ten Commandments are in two places. They're in Exodus and they're in Deuteronomy. We're going to look in Deuteronomy because it's easier for me. And so, kind of interesting, if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments have to do with our relationship with God. And the second, or the other six, have to do with our relationships in life. You know, how we live our life among people. And Jesus Christ, of course, gave a summary or put it all in a very simple way. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, and if you go to the Ten Commandments, well, it's all encapsulated in that simple statement. So it says, you know, the first one is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. That's verse 7. Then verse 2, or chapter 8, is the second commandment. And it talks about having no graven images. And it says we're not to bow down and worship any graven images. And then number 3 is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's verse 11. Then verse 12 is, keep the Sabbath day. And you know what's cool? If you go into Isaiah and you look at the Sabbath day, it gives you a little, talks about this in Isaiah 58. It says, to keep the Sabbath day is not to do your pleasure, but to do the Lord's pleasure. You know, and we're to do the Lord's pleasure every day. You know, it's not just the Sunday or not just the Wednesday night or whenever you have fellowship, but it's we walk with God, we're his children, we have his spirit within us, and we can please God all the time. All we have to do is speak in tongues. Pleases God, doesn't it? So, and then we get down to number 5, and it says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And you know, now it's talking about fathers and mothers. And you know, the word fathers and mothers is an interesting thing in the word. We think of it in terms of the ones that raised us, you know, our father and mother. But in the Word of God, you have to read the context. It can mean different things. It can mean your father. It can mean your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your great-great-great-great-grandfather. In Romans, it talks about the promise made to the fathers, referring to Abraham, Isaac, Israel, the 12 patriarchs. It talks about how Jesus Christ was the son of David. So in a respect, he was of the bloodline of David. You know, so it uses fathers in a different way. And God is our Father, right? So in a sense, that pertains to us too, doesn't it? When we honor our Father or obey him. So now we're going to, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. You know, sometimes obedience is such a simple thing. There's a couple, you know, sometimes things are not so glitzy. You know, you believe, you do a miracle, you heal somebody, you do something, you know. Cool stuff. We read about Naaman the other day, and he was like, you know, wouldn't he come out and strike over the land and thunderclap and angels sing, and, you know, and then he says, go wash in the river. It's not always the glitzy stuff that's important, you know, and obedience and faithfulness, or sometimes we just don't think about those things as being important. But obedience and faithfulness, you know, and faithfulness is what? It's steadfastness in believing and being consistent. So, Proverbs 4, verse 1, it says, hear ye children the instruction of a father. It doesn't say your father, it says a father. And attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. You know, and that's Solomon was writing, and he wrote of his dad and his mom, and they were great believers. And what did David teach Solomon? Taught him the word, right? Taught him, he was a great example of believing God and standing for God. Okay, having done all that, that's the introduction. Let's go to Jeremiah. We're going to go to the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was a prophet. And we're going to start in chapter 1 and do the whole book. I wish. He was a pretty cool guy, though. So chapter 1 of Jeremiah says in verse 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. So he was the son of Hilkiah, of the priests. He was of the priestly line. He was a Levite. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So there's a lot of stuff right there, a lot of information. Josiah was a great king. I'm going to read you something out of 2 Kings about Josiah, just one little verse. You don't have to go there. But you might want to write it down and look at it at a later point. But in 2 Kings 23, verse 25, speaking of Josiah, God says, and like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might. According to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Wow, what a great thing to say about a man and his life. So Josiah was a pretty cool guy. Now, his father was not so cool. His father was Manasseh. And if you read about Manasseh, he was one of the worst kings ever. You know? He wasn't a good example. And so how did Josiah become such a loving, great guy? Well, it talks about Hilkiah the priest. And I'm not sure if that's Jeremiah's father or not, but he delivered him the law and he read it. And it just... He said, we got to get back to what we're supposed to do. And then he wiped out all the idols and the prophets of Baal and did all kinds of great stuff and cleansed Judah of the evil that was there. Okay, now we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 35. I kind of ran across this chapter, and it's not one that people look at very often because there's no miracles in it, there's no dramatic things in it. It's just about obedience. That's all it's about. So we're going to start, and it says, the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Okay, Jehoiakim was a son of Josiah, so his father was a good example, wasn't he? He knew all about the word. When Josiah was king, one of the things they did, they had not for years celebrated the Passover, and they did during Josiah's reign. So Jehoiakim was not ignorant of God and his word, but he wasn't a good guy. If you go on to chapter 36, he's the one where Jeremiah writes the scroll and sends it to him, and they read it to him, and he takes a knife and cuts it up and throws it in the fire. That's the kind of guy Jehoiakim was. It says in Kings about Jehoiakim, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. Not Josiah his father, but other evil kings before him and his family bloodline. So that's the period of time Jeremiah lived. The first king he was under, Josiah, was a great king. The guys after him were not so good. And he says, go unto the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them and bring them into the house of the Lord into one of the chambers and give them wine to drink. Now that's a kind of a strange revelation, don't you think? Who are the Rechabites? Well, the Rechabites are an interesting people. It tells you about them in Samuel, 2 Samuel. Rechab was a guy who was kind of zealous for the law, and he was zealous for Israel, and he went with another guy and killed the son of Jonathan, Ishbosheth, who was crippled. He was lame from his mother's birth. And so he went back and he bragged to David, hey, we killed one of Saul's grandsons, because Saul went after David and he thought he was doing a great thing. And David said, well, I didn't want you to do that. I didn't tell anybody. I love Jonathan and I protect his family. And so he killed those guys. And Rechab got his head chopped off or whatever. I don't know how he did it. So that was Rechab. He was the son of Rimmon, and he died. So that's where the Rechabites come from, okay? You can read about them if you want. So he says, God says to Jeremiah, go get this family, the Rechabites, and bring them into the temple and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jehazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren and all his sons and the whole house of the Rechabites. He brought the whole family, the whole extended family of the Rechabites. I don't, that Jeremiah there is a different Jeremiah, obviously. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igladiah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of the Messiah, the son of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I set before all the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of Cabernet and Chardonnay and Mogen David? All that stuff. And I said to them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. Well, that's kind of ingratitude, isn't it? God brings them in, he sets up a nice feast, gets all this wine, spends all that money. They go, we don't drink wine. We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Wow. Now, you know, they're honoring their father, aren't they? Which is keeping a commandment in the law. So that's pretty cool. And they've done it for a number of generations. You imagine telling your kid, well, I did tell my kids, don't drink, don't smoke, don't do drugs. And they didn't listen to me for the most part. By the same token, I can say that I was a pretty disobedient kid myself. If I was my mother and father, I probably would have shot me. But God had his hand on my life, I guess, because I survived and lived. So they said, so this is what he commanded. He said, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons, for how long? Forever. That was the commandment that, you know, now, if your grandfather made a commandment like that, you know, it kind of fades with age, doesn't it? If it's not reinstituted and refreshed in your mind. And then he went on to say, neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters. Wow. That's some pretty amazing obedience, isn't it? We would say, oh, that's so legalistic. But they did it. They just did it, and they did it for generations, and they did it throughout the whole extended family. And women that came into the family and married into the family obeyed it too. So, then it says in verse 10, but we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass that when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, come and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, for fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. So they were not in Jerusalem as permanent residents, but they fled into the city for protection from the invading armies of the Syrians and the Chaldeans. Okay? Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction or hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. God's making a comparison here. So these guys, they obey Jonadab, their grandfather. I send you prophets. I rise up early in the morning. I send you word all the time, and you don't listen. you know, you raise children, you know, and keep telling them over and over and over, and you know, hopefully eventually it sinks in sometimes. You know, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Obey, 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 obey. Well, why do we want to obey? We want to learn to obey God. Why do we want to obey God? So we can believe. You know, Abraham is called the father of believing, right? And if you go back into Genesis and read that record, and God calls him out and says, okay, time for you to leave, Abraham. You're going to go into a land that I will show you. And what does it say Abraham did? It said he obeyed. It says he obeyed and he left and he went into a land he knew not where he was even going. He just obeyed. He just did what God told him to do. You know, God told Jeremiah, we saw a couple of things. He did the thing with the girdle, right? He didn't know what the heck that was all about. And how many miles was it? Whatever it was. He just did it. You know, he just obeyed. He didn't ask questions. He didn't say why. He said, I don't understand this, God. He just did it. Pretty amazing. These guys, these Rechabites, they did what they were told. They obeyed their father. So God says, you didn't hearken unto me. Verse 15, I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. You know, it's pretty cool sometimes where God will say stuff like that. There's one thing in Isaiah, I don't have it written down, but where he talks about, as he tells Isaiah, go and speak in their ears, he says, and talk to them. He says, they have ears, but they don't hear, and eyes that they don't see. But if you talk to them, maybe they'll hear, and maybe they'll see, and they'll turn back to me, and maybe then, and then I will, they'll be converted, and I'll heal them. You know, he says, but they don't really, they're not going to hear and they're not going to listen, but go tell them anyway. Give them a shot. You know, how many opportunities and chances does God give us? He gives us lots. So he said, you know, I sent my guys, my prophets, Jeremiah, other guys. I keep telling you, turn back. And you know, when God reproves us, when God lets us know how screwed up we've been. Why does he do it? So we can repent, right? So we can get back to what's right. That's why he gives us reproof and correction. Not to hurt us. You know, God's not there with a sledgehammer waiting for you to sin so he can bang you over the head. He wants to get us back so he can bless us, so he can help us, so he can love us. Because, like Jerry said before, his whole desire is fellowship. He wants the fellowship, and the more and the greater our fellowship, the more blessed we get. Verse 16, because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their fathers, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me. He keeps making that comparison, keeps saying, look what these guys did. Why can't you guys obey? Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, okay, the Lord God of hosts. I just got to stop for a second because Bob made such a great teaching and talking about the stars of heaven. And part of that is the enormity of, it's called the host of heaven, right? Now, hosts can also refer to armies. It can refer to people. It calls the host of Israel, the people of Israel, a large amount of people. But it says the Lord God of hosts, meaning he's over everything. How many ever bajillion, quadrillion, zillion stars there are, God's over it. No matter how many armies and how many millions of guys are in the armies or how powerful they are, God's bigger than those armies. He's the Lord God of hosts. It's a pretty cool idiom. You'll see it in the word all over the place. And that's what it's talking about, the enormity of God's power and authority, the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel. to them. He was their God. Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. Now, if you go back and read about Josiah, he prophesied that before Josiah, but Josiah hearkened unto him, and God put it off and blessed them. And then Josiah's sons came along. There was another son, and then Jehoiakim, and they screwed it up again. And so he goes back to the same warning, you know, and that's why Nebuchadnezzar and the Syrians were at the gates. So, I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab, your father. Now that's pretty cool. Because you have obeyed your father Jonadab. But what were they really obeying? They were really obeying the commandment, right? Honor thy father and thy mother. Because thou hast obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father and kept all his precepts and done according to all that he hath commanded you, which is in accordance with the word. It didn't contradict God's word, did it? No. He just said, this is the way we're going to live. This is our family. This is the way we're going to be. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me for how long? Forever. So I don't know, somewhere out there, this day and this time, there's got to be somebody of the family of Rechab, the son of Jonadab, that's a believer. Because that's what God promised them. And why'd they get that great promise? Because they obeyed. Just because they obeyed. You know, they weren't prophets, they weren't priests, they were herders. They were just normal guys going about the daily routine. What are we? We're just normal people going about our routine in life. But if we obey God, he blesses us mightily. He just does what we can't even ask or think, right? He goes, does exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. You know, and all he asks of us is to obey and believe. That's what he asks us to do. So obedience is such an important thing, and it's so, you can't believe if you're not obeying. God says, do this, you just do it. And the more we learn obedience, the more we're going to believe God, and the easier it's going to be. God bless you.